Cause all I see in front of me is green grass, that's money to me. I'm the lawnmower man, yeah.
We got a text in at 411-923 from a homeowner that has a 10-year-old ash tree that is crooked and wants to know how to straighten it out.
Well, if it's leaning, you can straighten it out. If the trunk has a crook in it,
that's just the way
that's just the way it's going to be. And sometimes as they get older and the trunk thickens, that will kind of disappear or get a lot more subtle in appearance. But there's no way that I know of that you can, you know, if it's got a curve in the trunk and it's curved and it's straightened itself back out and the trunk is actually bent, that you can straighten it out. Now, if the trunk is leaning, then with, you know, multiple stakes, or you can guy wire it, you know, by running, you know, putting stakes into the ground like a tent stake in three places and running wires up to the main trunk and, you know, playing with tension and getting it to where the tree is straightened up. Always make sure however you do it, that you use some type of protective device where the cable or the rope or the strap, however you're supporting the tree, makes contact with the trunk of the tree, that it's going through something, you know, that doesn't let it cut into the trunk. A piece of rubber hose works really well, or wide webbing material, something that spreads that up so you don't have a little small pressure point on the trunk of the tree that will cut into the tree, or the tree will get girdled by that. Yeah, but that's the best way. Yeah, something that will allow the tree to move a little bit in between two stakes or in between guy wires coming up out of the ground to get a leaning tree straightened up. And sometimes if you wait too long on those, you can't straighten them. I mean, they lean and then they get anchored in a leaning position. Now, they will always eventually at the tip start going straight away from the gravitational pull of the earth. So it's an interesting experiment to do sometime. Take a plant and hang it upside down, and it will curve back away from the gravitational pull or towards light, something. It won't grow straight down for very long. It'll curve back up. So a leaning tree will eventually lean, and then it will start curving. And once they start that curving, you're not going to straighten that out either. So
we appreciate you tuning in. And the text, another homeowner wants to know, how can you grow rye in flood irrigation?
Well, growing it's easy. Getting it started is a little more difficult because you have to time your irrigation with the seeding and hope that it stays moist enough. Most everybody that I know that has flood irrigation still uses some type of hose and sprinkler system in between the irrigations to get that seed germinated. It's pretty difficult in early October when it's still pretty warm to expect that seed to stay moist, you know, for 10 or 13 or 14 days, whatever your irrigation cycle is for the next one. But if you were going to do it, you'd want to, you know, irrigate, get the seed down while the soil is still moist, or seed it first and figure out a way to kind of get the seed, you know, lightly raked into the soil so it didn't float away, and then irrigate it and hope it stayed moist long enough to before the next irrigation comes. But I would recommend, you know, just getting some old-fashioned sprinklers and some hoses in between and moving it around and keeping it as moist as you can.
When you're saying old-fashioned, just the ones that go back and forth?
Well, I would get the ones that covered as much ground as you could so you didn't have to move the hose as little as you have to. So the big old oscillators that will throw water 30 or 40 feet across, and they just kind of move back and forth, are probably your best bet. And they're pretty reasonable. They're not very expensive.
So So we appreciate the call. Those flood irrigation properties, though, they're awful nice. That,
oh, yeah.
I think if you ever lived on one of those, you would have a hard time moving off of it or to a property that wasn't flood irrigated.
Especially as reasonable as the cost of the water is, it's a big deal.
So thanks for tuning in. We've got final wrap-ups for our gardeners this month.
Well,
weeds and
control
weeds and
your
seeds.
Control your weeds. We didn't mention fertilizing. You know, we're in that month, Memorial Day coming up, where it's time to be feeding citrus. We think of mainly, but really all of your major ornamental and fruiting trees and shrubs in your yard should be fed again one more time before they allow them to go into the hot weather and tolerate the summer and the extreme heat that we do get that's stressful to plants. So good fertilization. Coming up, make sure you're checking your water systems now before it's so hot and you end up with, you know, dead or damaged plants. You know, so go out there and turn your sprinklers on, run them. I noticed if I have any neighbors listening, a lot of water in the gutters this morning from somebody's sprinklers. So make sure they're going the right way and putting water where you want it.
And like you said, checking it now, once you start noticing a tree starting to suffer, it's a lot harder to bring them back then, and it's already hotter, so it's even harder
it's
to
tough.
Get out there and work on
yep,
it.
That's right.
Get your water checked now. Jay Harper, Farm's Choice, thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us.
Have a good weekend.